Our scripture lesson today comes from Mark chapter 4, starting in the 36th verse. And if you remember last Sunday, I encourage everyone to get a Bible in your hand because of who died to make sure you could read it. Remember Tyndale. Open your Bibles up to, will you, to Mark chapter 4. If you don't have enough, that's a real good excuse for you to get all cozy and sit next to each other and just be family. And while you're looking for that, two things on my mind that I need to bring up is this prayer box. Every now and then, and maybe people don't understand it, I'll just make sure you do. You have the prayer request slips in your pew there. And you write it down. It goes to God. It gets folded up and picked up by Greg. You put it out there on the arm of the pew. He comes along and collects them and puts them in here. Then after a while, after this thing gets full, they get put in a bag. And they come to me sealed. And I take them home. And I offer prayer over them. And I burn them. And nobody ever sees them. It ain't none of my business. And I'll be honest with you. As we have gone through many... Now that's just lovely, you two. I tell you. Buck and Israel sitting up there sharing a book. That's just lovely. But I am not scared of anything too much often. But I'm afraid of what the Lord would do to me if I read what was His business. So, the other thing is, if you can't be here, or you know someone that can't be here, tell them to go to our website. I don't talk about this very much, and I need to talk about it some more. On our website, there's all kinds of stuff. You can send pictures to Greg, he'll put them up there. And the sermons, this little black box up here is recording every word I say. That's why I have to be careful, because it's always going to be there. Hi, Mom. Why did I have children? And he takes them things and he loads them up onto the website. And all the sermons for the past 5 years, Greg, how many? Five, 6 years?
Seven?
Good night, I reckon. 7 years worth are on there. And that's everybody, not just me. Mountain Anthem is on there. I think all kinds of people are there. So if you can't be here, you've been sick, it's worth it. Mark chapter 4, 36th verse. Do me a favor, Buck. Go turn that fan off, please, or re-aim it. Starting in the 36th verse for the sermon lifted off. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up and rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet! Be still." The wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, give me the strength to speak your words. Give me the power to speak your words. Give us the strength, Father, to hear your words and put them into works. Give us the power, Father, to hear your words and put them into works. We thank you that we are being led today by the Holy Spirit and by the Scripture. And may we go away from here strengthened. May the words mean so much more to us. In Jesus' precious name we pray, and all of his children said, Amen. Now, as I have been in this pulpit for 11 years, you've heard me say on various occasions, I like big stuff. I like to see these big things. I love big toys. As a matter of fact, although I'm not getting to go this weekend, or next weekend, I'm sorry, and I'm very brokenhearted about it, next weekend is something amazing about to happen. Something the likes of which You will never know unless you know me. And because you know me, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. You see, you have to go all the way back to 1909 when the Case Company built a 150 horsepower traction engine. It was a monster. The front wheel was taller than I stand. And I'm 6 foot and something. And the front wheel was taller. And it has been, if you're a steam engine guy, it has been a part of history. Oh, man. And none of them survived. They all couldn't take. The metallurgy wasn't good at the time. And they had to send them all back to the factory. And only a boiler from one survived. And I saw the boiler. You saw the boiler. And somebody decided, hey, let's build one. And for the past 4.5 years, based on that boiler and leftover drawings from J.I. Case Company, they have now recreated the 150 horsepower Case Road locomotive. And they're unveiling it in Anderson, South Dakota, Andover, South Dakota, this weekend. I'm not going to be there. This thing weighs 65,000 pounds. It's monstrous. If you ever want to see it, just get on your computer and type in 150 horsepower Case. Make sure your jaw stays closed because you're going to go, ah. But I like big things. I like to see what the human being mind is capable of doing when allowed to work without constriction. When allowed to have pure, straightforward thought. The things they come up with. And so whenever I hear a story, I chase it down. And the most recent story I heard was the Taesung. I'm sure I'm pronouncing that wrong because my hillbillyese don't do much for other languages. But Taesung, and I know it's Chinese, now holds the world record since 2008. I just read this article. Since April of 2008, not to mean that you're heavy, April, it holds a record set at, are you ready? 20,133 tons lifted. In case you can't follow that number, that's 45 million pounds lifted at once. Set a world record. Lifted a barge out of the ocean, moved it over and set it on dry land so they could work on it. Oh my golly! Why wasn't there? Does anybody in here think that's a lot of weight? Say amen. Amen. They built this thing just for that. And not only did they build it for that reason, they built it, and in the entire time it was built and has been used, not a single worker has been injured. That's pretty amazing. I like big things that lift like that. I never got to see it, but I read about it. I would love to be able to give him the opportunity to have the keys thrown to me and say, here, Paul, go run one of these big shovels down in the quarry. The Captain was the biggest shovel ever built. It was built in 1965. It was the biggest shovel, and it worked until 1991 when it caught on fire and they couldn't put the fire out, and it burned it up. But the shovel had a bucket on the front that would load at one time 180 cubic yards, and in case you're trying to keep up with that, a normal-sized dump truck holds 14 cubic yards. One shovel full. Why in the world don't I have toys like that in my front yard? But my favorite. Anybody in this room ever experienced the vehicle breaking down? Put your hands up. How many people in this room have ever had to have it drugged to get it started? Yeah, you can't do that unless it's a stick vehicle, right? And I saw a thing on the internet the other day. Said if you want to really mess up the American youth, put them in a stick drive vehicle with a cassette player. They'll never figure out what to do with it. I don't know if that's true or not. But my new favorite hero is Reverend Kevin Fast. I've decided it is time for me to go to Canada and meet Reverend Kevin Fast. If for no other reason, just so I can stare at his beard. My man has got a perfectly square beard. It goes down to here. White, clean, and his mustache comes out on the side and sticks out. Can I grow a beard like that, huh? No. I'm 50 years old. I'll do whatever I want. I'm a little scared of her. But Kevin, yeah, I'm old. You understand that, Kyle? Why? What did I do wrong this week? Kevin Fast, Reverend Kevin Fast, at the St. Luke's member, at St. Luke's, St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Cocobure, Ontario, has 120 members that come to church on a Sunday morning. And I believe I know why. I believe they come faithfully. They fill the seats at 120 every Sunday because Kevin Fast earned his first entry into the Guinness Book of World Records by towing a 17-ton truck for 98 feet. He just latched onto it with a rope and pulled it. 6 years after that, he pulled a 28-ton fire truck. And in 2008, he moved the bar even higher by moving a truck that weighed 63 tons by pulling it. He pulls pickup trucks forward with his teeth. As he once explained to a newspaper reporter, his motto is go big or go home. And he also set a record by towing a 208-ton aircraft in 2009. Did I mention the man is in his 60s? Hey, 60s. That's old. This is heavy stuff, man. My dad, you know what a man's job is? A man's job is to move heavy stuff. That's my job in the house. Here's a jar that won't open, honey. Open that jar for me. And the boys always come running to hear that words. They're desperate to show me how strong they've become. And they come running and they go, Daddy, let me see that jar. And I'm looking, Buck. He'll do it. And then Wallet. And they hand the jar to me and I go, and it comes open.
I loosened it up for you.
Yeah, that's what you did. That's why the blood vessels were sticking out on your forehead. That's my job, is to open jars up and lift heavy stuff. We can't lift this up, Daddy. There you go. Lean underneath of it. And kill spiders. That's a man's job, ain't it? Kill spiders. And sometimes women don't even need us for that. They just need us as a good surface to kill a spider on. Oh, you haven't heard that story, have you? I'm laying in my bed asleep, dreaming of the things that matter to me. Steam engine, steam engine, steam engine, steam engine. Tractors, 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 tractors. And suddenly, at 1 o'clock in the morning, bam, 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 on my bare back, somebody is beating me with a book. Now, I'm telling you right now, I'm only married to one woman, so there's only one woman in here that would have been in a bed with me. She was beating me with a book. And I woke up and said, what in the world? She goes, there was a spider on your back. I said, she said it crawled across your back and walked around. And so her thought process was, let's kill the husband to get the spider.
Of all people, she would hate you.
And I had to lay there and take that because I can handle the heavy loads. And I laid there for the longest time thinking, this is the woman I married. She just tried to beat me to death with a book called War and Peace. She wasn't reading that, but that's funny, right?
Hey, you are peace.
What I'm trying to tell you is that we lift heavy loads every day. Our life on this planet, our awakening moments, are surrounded by the heavy loads we have to lift. And guess what we sometimes forget to do? Take a break. I love hearing the phrase, oh, he was the hardest worker. That man's just always working, 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 working. Because it always makes me a little sad. Because why don't you sit down for a moment and enjoy the fruits of your work? We forget to do that, that Jesus Christ took those burdens away from us. According to a Greek legend, in ancient Athens, a man noticed the great storyteller Aesop playing childish games with little boys. He laughed and jeered at Aesop, asking him why he had time to waste in such frivolous activity. activity. I am 50 years old. I am soon to be 51. You understand that, Toddy? You're 16. You're not old. And I still love to build Legos with my boys who build Legos. And it's fun. And I always build pretty much the same thing every time. Truck, car, or tractor. Esau responded by picking up a bow, loosening its string, and placing it on the ground. And then he said to the critical Athenian, "Now answer me this riddle if you can. Tell us what the unstrung bow implies." Does anybody understand or know what an unstrung bow implies, Wally?
It means that it's not tightened on the bow, so that no stress on the bow or string.
The man looked at it for several more moments, but he had no idea. He didn't understand the point that Esau was trying to make, and so Esau explained, "If you keep a bow always bent, it will break eventually. But if you let it go slack, it will be more fit for the next time you need to use it." If you are always bent and pushed and tired and pulled down, eventually you're going to break. The writer goes on to say, people are like that. That's why we need to take time to rest. Jesus prescribed time off for his weary disciples when they came from prolonged periods of evangelism. We need to take moments to sit down and relax. And we don't do it. You know why? Because we're afraid people will judge us for being lazy. One of the hardest things that I ever have to do is let someone help me. Wendy and I were laughing. You know where I was a year ago on Sunday, September 2nd? I was in the hospital from the hernia operation. And I had to let nurses help me. I found out if I was really nice to them, they would give me popsicles. And I love popsicles. But we don't set ourselves up as Jesus Christ modeled us. Now, I know what's going through your head right now. I am sure of it. You're thinking, "Now, wait a minute, Paul. You just read the scripture about calming the storm. What in the world does that have to do with this?" Let me explain something to you. Scripture can be used in multiple applications. Yes, we all know that the story of the storm being calmed ends with, "What happened to your faith?" But I'm telling you, or let me ask you to look at it from this perspective. Let's start at the beginning. It says, "And they got into a boat." Now, who in this room has ever been in a boat? Right. You notice where my hand is. Do kayaks and canoes count as boats? All right, well then I'm pretty good. Next year, we're going to go on a cruise. Woohoo! I ain't never been on no cruise. I want to get in that boat and I want to relax. I want to walk around and I want to make sure that what I was told was true. That the ice cream bars on cruises are still open at 2 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, I see nods. Jill and Tim, I see Shirley nodding. The ice cream bar is open at 2 o'clock in the morning. You ain't going to have to look far for me. I can just see me now waking up. Man, it's 1:30 in the morning. I could have some ice cream right now. And I'll just get up and go. Woohoo! But I'm telling you right now that they tell me that getting on a boat serves as relaxation. The waves, the out there in the open. And so we read in the scripture that Jesus and the disciples got into a boat. If you go back in Mark 4, he was busy working. He's telling the parables. He's laying things out. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Because he needed a break. And he wanted his disciples to take a break. So they got down in the Sea of Galilee, where they've all been, and they took off. And suddenly the Bible tells us that a storm arose. Now, the funny part about that whole story, I think it gets glossed over. I don't think we pay attention to it close enough. Jesus was asleep on a cushion in the stern. That's the back of the boat. I don't know where it's at. Front and back. Why can't we just say that to a boat too? Pointy end, flat end. Jesus was asleep in the stern of the boat on a cushion. Why? Does anybody in this room not believe that naps are great things? I love taking a nap. It says a storm blew up. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. And they started to panic. Anybody ever been in a canoe or a kayak or a boat that started to sink? Is it fun? You get a little nervous, don't you? You almost drown. And yet, what was he doing? Sleeping. He was asleep. All the commotion running around. Jesus Christ lay there in the boat asleep. A lesson is coming from all of this. When they get mad, they wake him up. Hey, don't you care if we drown? Hey, teacher, we're going to drown. Can't you do something about it? You know, help us. Get out, get a bucket. Start dipping water. And Jesus wakes up. And he rebuked the wind and the waves. And he said to them, hush up. That's enough. Flat. Now, I'm telling you right now, if I was with a fella and we were having problems and he stood up and made those problems go away, I would be scared to death of that person. I am not lying to you. And the Bible says they were terrified of Jesus. Who is this person that can do that? Now, we all have read the story, but what's it got to do with weight, Paul? Maybe I'm not explaining it. We get the weight down on us, and we don't know what to do, and it bears, and it bears, and it bears some more until we just can't move. Maybe you're not hearing me. Come here a minute. Bring that chair up here. Hey, old man, come up here too. Sit that chair right there. Sit down. Sit down. Sit on his lap. Go ahead, it's all right. Just sit down.
I'm the heavy one.
Sit down.
That's the point.
Sit down.
Don't you do it.
That ain't so bad, is it?
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty good, right? All right, change positions.
Okay.
You sit down.
Yeah.
You're down.
This is not on the script, everyone.
This is not...
Not so bad, is it?
I want it.
No.
No, not too heavy. Come here, Buck.
This is not on the script, y'all. This is not on the script.
And you sit on that leg.
Watch leg.
Still not too bad, is it?
Duh.
My old man.
No.
Not too bad. You can handle that, right?
Yeah.
All right, you two up.
Ow.
Put your knees together. I'm going to teach you a little lesson here. Together means not apart. It means they're touching. Sit straight up.
All right.
Sit back in that chair. You good and comfy?
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go.
What?
You know, that worked. That worked better than I ever hoped it would.
Are you okay?
Would you like to sit down?
I've had you sit on me before.
Really?
Yeah.
Put your knees together. Sit straight up.
I'm sitting straight up.
All right, here we go. You ready?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to sit down.
Look,
good
thing Noah was better.
All right. So, are you all right? This is terrible, ain't it?
Uncle.
Oh, my God.
Uncle.
Now I'm about to show you what Jesus does.
I yield.
Ready?
That's a ticket for going through a red light.
Yeah.
That's what Jesus does.
What,
you understand? When that kind of weight gets down on you, you guys can go sit down now. Go ahead, chicken. Go sit down.
Not on me.
Go ahead, sit down, old man.
Sit down on me.
My knees are giving out.
When we get that kind of weight on us, and that's real life, when the boat is getting full of water, that's weight. Because fear and doubt turn into weight that we can't lift. And it happens to each and every one of us. And I don't care who you think you are, I'm me. And I'm telling you, the weight pushes down on me too. And I know it does to you. And we become frantic and lost and scared. And the greatest pieces of equipment in the world cannot take that weight off of us. No crane in China that can lift 45 million pounds. No big shovel. No preacher pulling a weight can take the weight of the world off of us except for Jesus Christ. Amen goes right there. And that's the scripture from a completely different look. It's still the same scripture. It's still the same lesson. Jesus Christ is giving us something to pay attention to. Look, call on me, but call on me with faith. The disciples said, don't you care if we drown? We're going to die, we're going to die. Jesus, please do something. We got to go. Hey, knock it off. Have you not been listening to what I taught you? Why are you so afraid? Why do you still have no faith? This is Labor Day weekend. It's a day to rest, and I tell you, you can do it because it's okay to rest sometimes. And the answer is why? One man challenged another one to an all-day wood chopping contest, all day long. The challenger worked very hard, stopping only for a brief lunch break, a couple minutes. The other man had a leisurely lunch and took in several breaks during the day. At the end of the day, the challenger was surprised to learn and annoyed to find that the other fella had chopped more wood than he had. I don't get it. Every time I checked, you were taking a rest, yet you chopped more wood than I did. How is that possible? The winning woodsman smiled at him. He said, didn't you take notice that every time I sat down to rest, I took time to sharpen my axe? Every time. Jesus speaking to us. All these things have been committed to me, Matthew 11. By my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in my heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We can take a moment and learn from the disciples in that scripture, or not. We can think of that as a really cool story. Everybody loves the story that Jesus Christ calmed the waters. Amen? Everybody loves that story. I mean, that's one of the coolest stories in the Bible. He made it stop. And yet, what we don't take from that leaves something behind. We take from that, from by our faith in Jesus Christ, our simple, childlike, understanding belief that Jesus Christ is Lord. When we call on Him, the weight shall be lifted. Maybe only for a moment, Maybe long enough that you can go, but He will always be there to hold us up. Always. There's no music in a rest. Anybody in here that knows anything about music knows what them little symbols are, right? The one that shows four beats. The one that shows two beats, a beat, 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 beat. Not supposed to do anything during that. When I was learning how to play music, I often thought the music teacher put rests in there just so you didn't have to hear us scratching across them instruments. But there's no music in a rest. But there is making music, there is making of music in it. And our whole life, melody. The music is broken off here and there by rests, and we foolishly think we have come to the end of the tune. Not without design does God write the music of our lives. Be it ours to learn the tune and not be dismayed at the rests. They are not to be slurred over, not to be omitted, not to destroy the melody, not to change the keynote. If we say sadly to ourselves there is no music at a rest, then let us not forget that there is the making of music in it. Carry some quiet around inside thee, the well-known Quaker George Fox used to say. Be still and cool in thine own mind and spirit from thine own thoughts, and then thou wilt feel the principle of God to turn thy mind to the Lord from whence cometh life, whereby thou mayest receive the strength and power to allay all storms and tempests, to lift the weight, to have it lifted off. I thought it was funny that we sang that song, "I'm So Glad Jesus Lifted Me." I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Satan had me bound. Jesus lifted me. We need to remember that in the darkest moments, in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the turmoil, in the midst of everything pushing down on us, we were chosen by God to know Jesus Christ. We were chosen by Jesus Christ to be saved, to be lifted up, and to be taken onward. And though our time here may seem long and arduous and the journey hard, the prize at the end He has laid for us, and one day the weight will be lifted off forever. Forever. You just need to remember to let God lift the load off. It ain't always going to be a long wait. It ain't always going to be a long rest. But it'll be what you need when you need it. We have been given the faith by that death to do it. And so this Labor Day, I encourage you to take a couple minutes. Lean back. Close your eyes. And thank God above for Jesus Christ, in whom we know, we live, and we are saved. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before You day after day, as we look at things from that perspective, as we feel that weight pushed down, we feel that there's nothing we can do. We can't move under it. We can't function. We start to lose all hope. Let us be reminded of the faith that we have in Your Son, Jesus Christ. Let us be reminded that He is the greatest load lifter of all time. Let us return to Him again and again and again to get our strength, our rest, to take up His yoke, His burden, and learn from Him, that we may be able to show others the path to Jesus Christ and salvation forever. I ask this be upon our hearts as we go from here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.